you, Wanda. Good morning, church family. It's so good to see you, to watch you come in and greet each other. I'll invite you, because there's been a few come in just in the last moment, invite you to stand where you are and to greet those that are entering and coming to worship together this morning. Passing the peace of Christ. We do welcome you to worship this morning, and those that are watching from their homes or maybe even on the roads between here and there, we welcome you to worship today and look forward to what the Holy Spirit has to teach us and how the Holy Spirit will refill us today for being here and having interacted in our service today. Our service today focuses around a Matthew passage of Jesus speaking to Peter about forgiveness. So we have a lot to hear and a lot to learn this morning. Our call to worship, if you'll join me. From generation to generation, God calls to us. Christ names us as God's own people. In hope and faith, God walks before us. Christ calls to us, pick up a cross and follow him. In covenant and love, God promises us grace and forgiveness. Christ carries us forward into life anew, reborn, forgiven, everlasting. Amen. Our opening hymn this morning is number 374 in the hymnal, Standing on the Promises. We don't have anyone sitting, do we, this morning? Stand and join me. affirmation of faith will be found on the screens. The Apostles' Creed speak what we believe this morning. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting.
Invite Margie Walters, who's directing the Baldwin Family Village, to come and share a little bit about that ministry. Thank you, Margie. Glad to have you.
Good morning, everybody. I was asked by a certain person, I'm going to rename nameless here, to speak this morning, and I told Bill that if I had to come up here and speak in a microphone, she was going to come sing with me. So she better be hiding her little face. But I am Margie Walters. I've come to this church for quite a while, and I have a new position. I'm the director of Baldwin Family Village, and I have the privilege of watching lives change daily. Baldwin Family Village opened in April of 23 as a program of Dumas Wesley Community Center. Has anybody heard of Dumas Wesley? If you grew up in this area, it's definitely a mainstay. And then last week, when I was looking at what to say, I looked at the bulletin, and it said, Embracing Uncertain. Now, we all woke up this morning, right, in our beds. There's nothing more uncertain than homelessness. We all have a place to stay, and there's a huge population in Baldwin County that does not. Through financial stress, medical issues, generational poverty, or domestic violence, we have helped ladies overcome these problems. We have had 12 families since April 23 move into permanent housing, and that is all because of community partners like you. We help educate, empower, and enrich these ladies to further their lives. We have had 63 individuals come through our program, and it's all from help from people like you. Now, how can we help? There's a couple of you that have already come. If you helped with the Christmas tree program, raise your hand. Anybody in here? So we had a group of ladies that brought us Christmas trees for every member of our home. And not only were these Christmas trees, they were pine-scented Christmas trees. So when we walked in the home of a facility with 13 homeless women and their children, it smelled like Christmas. How many of you have a Christmas smell in your house at Christmas? It smells like home. And that was such a lovely touch. How many of you brought dinner to our program before? A couple of you. Having a lasagna or spaghetti or a roast dropped off, it smells like home. And that's what we want to do at Baldwin Family Village. Those are programs you can help do every day. We have life skills where we teach these ladies financial programs, domestic violence, or how to ballroom dance. Because who doesn't want to dance at their home? That is our goal, is to make this feel like a home. So when they have a permanent home, they know what it feels like. They may have never had it, and we want to give that to these ladies. If you would like to help us, you can contact me. You can contact our missions program. There are all kind of ways you can help bring these ladies home. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you, Margie. There's also a sign-up in the fellowship hall as you go to today if you would like to take meals or be a part of that ministry in ways that she has shared. You can do that. So thank you, Margie, again. So we continue to support Baldwin Family Village. May we go to God in prayer in these moments. God, our Heavenly Father, we praise you, Lord, for your church. We thank you for the ministries that are happening every day, for the missions that go forward, as you have called us to enter into your greater mission, Lord, in our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Thank you, God, as we seek to be faithful to you and good stewards of the gifts and graces you have given to us. We praise you, O Lord, for hearing and answering prayers for those who are recovering from illnesses, from those recovering from recent heart procedures especially. But God, we thank you for your sustaining grace over their lives as, Lord, they continue in recovery. We ask your mercies today also, God, for those who are displaced, for whatever reasons, whether financial or relational in nature. We pray, God, the abundance of your grace, Lord, and also as acts of mercy from your church to those who are in need as we continue to be your church. Lord, we pray also your just anointing and empowering today for Kitsy as she shares your word. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear all that you have for us today. Be in our time of fellowship following this, Lord, and in our time of discipleship and Sunday school classes, Lord, that all would give glory to your name and draw our hearts closer to you. God, we pray for our world as well in those areas as the Near East, in Israel, where there is open war, and also in Ukraine, where there's open war. And God, for those places, Lord, that are seeking to bring a sense of peace, we pray, Lord, your strength for them, and also, God, your provision for those who are displaced. We thank you, God, for your faithfulness to us. We pray, Lord, that you would find us faithful as, Lord, we come to worship you in spirit and in truth. And today, yes, Lord, we do stand on your promises. Thank you for your faithfulness, God, in hearing all of our prayers as we pray in confidence and boldness the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Having children's moment next with Miss Lisa, we invite our children to come forward in these moments.
Small group this morning, aren't we? You doing okay, Will? Yeah? There we go. All right, there comes Mason and Harrison. Now our group's getting bigger. How are you doing this morning? You okay? Good. Good. Pastor Kitsy's going to preach to the grown-ups today, and she's going to talk to us a little bit about forgiveness. You ever heard that word? We said it just a minute ago in the Lord's Prayer. We asked God to forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, right? Good to see you. Well, forgiveness is something that Jesus talks about in the Bible, that's something that we're supposed to do. It's kind of difficult, but what it means is letting go of something. If someone makes a mistake or they do something, they make a bad choice, and it affects us. Forgiveness is kind of like just letting it go. It's kind of hard to do. But in the Bible, and even in our prayer just a minute ago, we talked about how we forgive others so that God can forgive us. Another thing that Jesus tells us about in the Bible is sharing God's love. And that's why I brought this jar full of this, I guess not a jar, it's a bowl full of stickers. A couple of Wednesdays ago, we were at Children's Kids University on Wednesday night. Most of you come there. I see you there. Bella had stickers in her purse. And she took out one of the stickers and she gave it to me. Not for any reason. I wasn't sad or lonely. She just shared it with me. And I thought, you know, that's sharing God's love. Bella was showing her kindness and sharing God's love. And so I thought, you know, you can do that with a sticker. Jesus tells us to share God's love with other people. So Bella shared her love with us for Jesus shared God. Bella shared God's love with a sticker, and I thought we could do that too. So I brought some stickers, and I want to give you each a couple, one to wear and one to share. And when you share a sticker with somebody, can you tell them God loves you? Yeah. That would be an easy thing to do, right? Right, so after we say our prayer, don't leave until I give you a couple stickers, okay? Okay, let's fold our hands and go to God. Father God, thank you so much for sending us Jesus to love us, to teach us the things that we should do and how we should live our lives. We ask that you forgive us, Father God, when we make mistakes or make bad choices. And we ask you to help us forgive others when they make mistakes and bad choices. And we ask you to help us to remember to share your love every day with people that we meet. Go with us as we go through this week. Amen.
As we prepare for our offertory prayer and our offertory this morning, let us bow our heads and go to God in prayer. Most gracious God, as we come before you this morning to present our giving, we want to give you thanks for all that you have given us. We want to give you thanks for providing for us and for watching over us and caring for us. May the giving that we give be from our hearts to glorify you and give you the praise. But most of all, may it go toward to build the kingdom that you are calling us to build for your kingdom, the community, and the world. In Christ's name we pray, amen.
Oh,
I ask you to please remain standing to honor God's word, which will come from the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 21 through 22. And the word of God reads, "Then Peter came and said to him, 'Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive?' 'As many as seven times,' Jesus said to him. 'Not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times.'" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. A short verse, but powerful. Moments of lessons and learning about forgiveness in the lesson. This morning, as I come before you, some of the things I prayed about and worked on my sermon with God about concerned in our series, The Uncertainty of Forgiveness, concerned how difficult it is for us to forgive, as Miss Lisa spoke about in the children's message. I often think about forgiveness like we do a mirror. As long as the mirror is looking out and we don't have to look at ourselves, it's easy to demand the forgiveness of others. But when the mirror turns to look at ourselves, it's difficult to see what really stands before us. And as we explore those moments this morning, we explore them remembering that we serve a mighty God who's mighty to forgive. And the reason for the forgiveness is each of us sitting here from a Christ who loves each and every one of us. Part of our Christian character is the capacity to forgive. We can talk about forgiveness endlessly, and many will still ask in those conversations, "Why must I be the one to forgive when I didn't do anything? Why must I be the one to forgive when I'm the only one suffering and they are not? Why must I be the one to forgive when they don't forgive me in return? What difference does forgiveness make anyway?" Each week, as Miss Lisa was telling the children, we pray the Lord's Prayer in unison as a family in Christ. And the most pertinent portion of this holy prayer, we ask God to forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Withholding forgiveness has become one of society's most powerful and useless weapons. The more we withhold our forgiveness from others, our limited mind makes us think we attain some kind of power of negativity and revenge over the person, persons, or the situation. In reality, the more we withhold forgiveness, the more sick we become with the cancer of bitterness. Everything inside of us is infected and spiritually sick, and before long we begin to choke on our own bitterness and then blame others for not coming to our rescue. Unforgiveness is ugly. Before I delve into the deep of the uncertainty of forgiveness, I want to provide you with an image of what forgiveness looks like. I'm a visual learner and I love images to help us embrace the moment. If we look at this image closely, and with heart intention, I ask you to look at this image, not because you're being prompted to look at it, but because your heart is looking at this image. You see yourself in this image, and you see your Christ in this image. In this image, we know that this is the woman that's caught in adultery during Jesus' ministry. And Jesus happened to be out and about in scripture teaching about in the temple courts. And the teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in the act of adultery. No husband had claimed her. Who would want to? She had probably ruined some marriages. The town hated her and dubbed her filthy. And any other words that you can think of to fill in the blank were most likely said to her. She's standing before a crowd of people waiting to stone her because of the laws written under Moses, but Jesus has a different judgment for her. Jesus bends down and begins to write on the ground. And scripture tells us in John chapter 8, verse 7, that Christ looks at the crowd and says, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Many times in our lives, we have been the sinner on the ground in need of Christ's hand to extend forgiveness to us. And other times we have been the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, ready to condemn judgment on others without seeing where we need to extend forgiveness to others and then to ourselves. We all have an uncertainty of forgiveness. Even Peter wrestled with this question, as we saw in Scripture. He asked, how many times should I forgive? And you can tell that he is expecting a different answer, perhaps an answer that will prove that he doesn't have to forgive, or that forgiveness is limited, making a little bit more room for vengeance. And Jesus' response is, not just seven times, but rather as many as 77 times. It's easy to look at the concept of forgiveness as something to maintain a record of, like a math problem. And in this text that we're studying as we bring this series on embracing the uncertainty, the author, Magri R. De Vega, he suggests that the Greek expression of this number is 70 times 7, which gives us 490 times. And we have to be careful, because if we straightforwardly read the scripture and apply our own concepts, then it places us back in that uncertainty by thinking we have numerical control over the forgiveness we give others. There are a lot of people who read this scripture, or can read this scripture, to be, oh, I can't forgive you, Jane, because I've forgiven you 490 times. You are out of your forgiveness, so you're out of luck. I officially hate you now. That is not what the scripture is implying. Instead, in Jesus' response, he is answering the question with a deeper question. And if we go deeper into that question, why should we forgive? And the answer may shock you. We get a lot of adages and a lot of statements that say, forgiveness is not for you, forgiveness is for me. Forgiveness is my freedom from my shackled sins. We've got a lot of statements about forgiveness. But it goes even deeper than that. When we evaluate the essence of the question, why should we forgive, then we come to understand that forgiveness is participation in the kingdom of God. Forgiveness is kingdom work. Forgiveness is a conscious choice to end the cycle of bitterness, revenge, and victim mentality that is destroying our relationship with others and with God. And we've been given the power to call forgiveness out from destroying our relationships, destroying our families, and destroying ourselves. Forgiveness restores the kingdom of heaven, because one day we will all be together in a space created by God where bitterness over unforgiveness cannot dwell. You can't take that forgiveness with you. So you might as well let it go while you're living. Forgiveness helps build God's kingdom within your own heart, your own mind, and your spirit. And that begins the healing that can happen in our lives and in the lives of others. I think of forgiveness as being so difficult, but every time we forgive, the angels in heaven rejoice. Because forgiveness is hard. Forgiveness is God's desire to heal you. And I guess I should take that back. Forgiveness is not the hard part. Being human and stubborn is the challenge. The inability to forgive is a sin problem. And I said that a million times as I studied this text. And it became much more difficult to say, because it makes us all look within ourselves. The inability to forgive is a sin problem. Luke 17, 2 through 4 teaches us, even if that person wrongs you seven times a day, and each time turns again and asks forgiveness, you must forgive. Oftentimes, we are imprisoned by our ability to forgive, our inability to forgive. Our inability to forgive keeps us like this image that we see on the screen, entrapped by the sentencing of our hearts. We create the imprisoned walls of our mind that are struggling for freedom, and the prison walls that we create of regret, retaliation, resisting, and refusing the blessings God offers through forgiveness. For some reason, we think that when we're withholding our forgiveness, we're withholding somebody else's blessings. We are not God. Let it go. We either surrender to the Holy Spirit's work of forgiveness, or we succumb to the imprisonment of our defining terms of being a victim. With God's forgiveness, we are not the victim, but the victor. Forgiveness is a ministry that we are all called to because Christ has forgiven us, Christ has forgiven me, Christ has forgiven you. And here are some warning signs that unforgiveness is eating you alive to help us work through this week. Number one, anger rules your heart. In Genesis chapter 4, if we go back and look in scripture, Cain becomes angry that God accepts his brother Abel's gift, but not his. Cain lures his brother into the field and allows his anger and jealousy to kill his brother. And previous to the killing, God asks Cain, "Why are you so angry?" And God told him in Genesis 4:7, "You will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you, but you must subdue it, and be its master." Number two, we're desperate to make people understand how we feel. Genesis 19:26, Lot's wife thought that by looking back at the sinful city of Sodom and Gomorrah just one more time, maybe she could take one last glimpse before its total destruction. And maybe having in her heart that she really didn't want to leave the land of sin. So her looking back at what she was being rescued from turned her into an unmovable pillar of salt. Unforgiveness will always keep us looking back and stuck from moving forward. Number three, we're not taking accountability for our feelings or our actions. Again in Genesis 27, Jacob, as we know, stole Esau's blessings, and Esau became so angry he devised a plan to kill his brother. But their mother, Rebekah, heard Esau's plans and helped her son flee to a safer place instead of taking accountability for the destructive ramifications that would come from the sin. Number four, we keep a list of offenses. And we probably got a list larger than the Bible, y'all. But Matthew 18, if we go a little deeper in the scripture that we're reading today, down to verses 21 through 35, we see where Jesus gives the parable of an unforgiving debtor who could not pay his master. So the master ordered that he and his family be sold to pay the debt. But the man pleaded with his master to forgive his debt. The master felt pity for him and forgave him. And once freed, that same debtor went to someone who owed him money and tortured them when they asked for forgiveness. And when the townspeople went to tell the king that this man you forgave showed unforgiveness to someone else, he said, "Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you?" Forgiveness is a release from the strongholds that are holding us from reaching our destiny. Why would we want to hold on to unforgiveness like a pillow of comfort at night? But it's one of the things we hold on very tightly to, and we just can't let go. And sometimes we let the unforgiveness go and we snatch it right back out of God's hands. Never mind, I choose to be angry. I choose to be hurt. I choose to be the victim. I choose to not forgive them for what they did. I want to see them punished. I want to see them hurt. Not realizing that all of that pent-up anger, frustration, and pain is only stopping us from the kingdom work that God is calling us to do. Yes, I can hear the question floating in the sanctuary air that says, "But you don't know what I've been through." Yeah, oh, I was right? Forgiveness takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. You're absolutely right on all three accounts. And some might even say, "I don't know what I'm talking about." You're right on all three, four accounts. Forgiveness does not mean forgetting. I'm not saying that. Trauma is real. That is a reality for each of us. But forgiveness means that we decentralize our hurt by not making it the center, but we put God in the center of that space of trauma that opens the airways for us to breathe forgiveness instead of breathing the bad oxygen of unforgiveness. Archbishop Desmond Tutu says that forgiveness begins with the three hardest words we will ever speak. I am sorry. We live in a world where saying I am sorry admits admission of guilt, weakness, and taking blame for something we did not do. I am sorry are the strongest words you can ever say because they infect healing, freedom, and a testimony that God gets the last word, and that word written in the sand by Christ is forgiveness. Forgiveness lessens the power that we give hurt as an idol in our lives. Forgiveness declares an end to mutual destruction, and it begins a path toward healing. Forgiveness is hard. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But for us Christians, it is not optional. We must forgive. We must learn to forgive. God always works with us in scripture, and God worked with when we're doing our sermons, and God definitely worked with me this week. I signed on Facebook for the first time in a long time because I had been too busy, and I signed on because I needed to get a date of an event. I wasn't going to do any particular scrolling. I simply needed a date of an event, and what popped up? My best friend, you're not going to believe that I'm not a good friend, my best friend in New York, I saw that she had had a new baby. I didn't even know she was pregnant. So I dropped the phone and I immediately called and I said, oh my gosh, Norma, I am so sorry. I am a horrible friend. And she said, yes, you are. But my mind wanted to say, wait a minute, you don't get to tell me that. But my heart said, you know, you need to take this one. You've been neglecting and slacking, girlfriend. You need to ask for some forgiveness. So I've been on a roll this week with my deep, deep, deep dear friends that I do not, I can imagine what life would be like if I lost those relationships. I've been calling to say, I am so sorry. I have missed some of the biggest moments of your life. But from this moment forward, how can I be a better friend to seek your forgiveness? And then later on this week, a person in my life that hurt me terribly bad in my former career, I found out they had a tragic loss. Now, immediately within us, we want to do everything to say, But the first thing that struck up in me was to call and give my condolences because I wouldn't ever want anybody to experience what they have experienced. And that conversation led to forgiveness. There are hard things to do. We often think of, how will I look if I admit that I've made a mistake? How will it look if I actually forgive myself as well as forgiving others? For Christians, forgiveness is a calling of the highest regard. It is sacred and holy. Time may or may not heal everything, but God's invitation to accept his forgiveness and offer that forgiveness to others, it certainly does. I want to provide another image for you to meditate on as I read up on some reflective questions that I have for us this week. This image is by Thomas Blackshear on forgiveness, and it's a famous image that you may be familiar with. I look at this image as being the heaviness of letting go of everything that we're holding on to, but the arms of Christ who catches us to carry us. Imagine how hard it is to navigate life with the heavy burden we carry in unforgiveness. Think of how much freedom we are being held from because we are dragging around unforgiveness like a bag of trophies that we will never put on display. When we let go of the weight of unforgiveness, it allows Christ to carry us into the sanctum of healing and freedom. But it begins by letting go and truly letting God. As you look at this image, ruminate on these reflective questions. As we go into a new week that God has called us to, may we work on the inside of us to forgive others and ourselves. Will I hold on to my unforgiveness over the sacrifice Christ made on the cross to forgive my sins God has called me to forgive. Will I tell him no? Will I choose to live in my prison of misery with the sentence that was already bargained and won by Christ? When will I forgive myself so that I can walk in God's freedom? In conclusion, let us remember that it is God who calls us to forgive others and ourselves, because God was eager to forgive us through his Son, Jesus Christ. It's our choice to receive that forgiveness, not partially, but wholly, in that we are restored and enabled to spread forgiveness in the same way that we are called to spread the gospel. I can understand that this is a lot to consider today, but if you remember nothing else from the sermon, remember these two things. Unforgiveness is a sin problem. And if we are called to be Christians, forgiveness is not optional. It's a part of the requirement. Because Christ has forgiven you, and Christ has forgiven me. And if you struggle throughout the week, which is very common to do with anything of such of this topic, try first to give God thanks for forgiving you. And see where God will take you in your heart and in conversations with him to help you forgive others. Let us pray. Gracious God, forgiveness is hard. And we thank you that we can come to your throne of mercy and be humble about that. But we thank you for the sacrifice of your Son who died for our sins. His blood runs red with forgiveness for each and every one of us. Thank you for forgiving us of our sins. Empower us to follow the example you set for us in Jesus, that we might both forgive others and seek forgiveness. Help us to participate in your work to reconcile the world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Kitsy. Our hymn of response this morning is found at 534. 534. Will you stand and join me? Be still, my soul.
Thank you.
thank you, Pastor Kitsy, for a very probing message today. I was reminded of the words of Corrie ten Boom, forgiveness is to set a prisoner free and to find out the prisoner is you. May we go from this place as the forgiven people of God, set forth to forgive as Christ has forgiven us. May we go in the peace and joy and grace of the Lord Jesus. Amen and amen.